Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to ask that you turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 16. Last time we spoke, we were talking about the upper room ministry, and as you're turning there, just remember what's happening. In chapter 13, the Lord was sitting, talking to the disciples, serving the disciples, saying that he is the example. He's talked about love, the love that he gave, that we should have for each and every one ourselves. He goes into John chapter 14, and he'll talk about many things. And I'm going to stop there and then read, because he's going to talk in chapter 16. By the way, he's walking, he's finishing in the upper room, he's walked through a garden, and now he's at a place just prior to him praying. But he has many things that he cannot reveal. And we're going to talk about that. So in John chapter 16, starting in verse 12, reading through 16. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and yet ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we do approach you. We realize that this is your word. These are your commands. These are your guidelines for our life. We would ask that the Holy Spirit have freedom. This servant of yours be put aside. And that we would be hearers and doers of your holy word. Show us your truths. Show us what you would have us to learn so that we can honor you and glorify you. So we ask for your help this morning. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, we're looking at the section just prior to him going to a prayer, which is kind of very important. But he's making, in verse 12, he's making a statement saying, many things I can't tell you right now. He's talking to his apostles. He's talking to you and I. In verse 13, he gives us a promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will be the one telling us the many things. In verse 14, we see one of the major works of the Holy Spirit, and that is to glorify God. Show the honor, show the beauty of who God really is. Show the loving kindness and the grace that he is. And then in verse 15, we see the unity of the Father and the Son. And you would think I would say the Holy Spirit next, but it's us. The unity with us, with the Father and the Son, as orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And then 16, once again, he's saying, I'm going to leave you. A little while, you'll see me no more. But then you'll see me again when I go to the Father. There's a story that I have found in this section that I think may help us a little bit as we go through it. You see, one day, a young man was walking down the street, and as he's walking down the street, he hears a cry. But he couldn't distinguish what the cry was all about. As he's walking through, he hears it, and he gets closer to the cry, and under a bridge, he looks down, and he sees a two-month-old puppy. The puppy had a gash on his head. His feet were bound tightly with a rope, and he was crying. The young man took compassion and pity on this puppy. So the young man goes down and the crying stops. The puppy is watching the young man. As the young man draws closer, the puppy starts to growl and make a snarl and show his teeth. The young man stops. But he didn't give up. He sat down a few distance away from the puppy and talked softly to the puppy. As he talked softly, he inched closer and closer to this puppy. Finally, he was able to touch the puppy and unbind his swollen legs. He picked him up carefully, brought him home, fed him, gave him water, and gave him a warm bed. As time went on, every day he would come to feed the puppy. However, every time the young man approached the puppy growled. Weeks passed, several weeks passed, and then finally one day, as the young man approached the puppy didn't growl, but wagged its tail in acceptance of the young man. The name of the story is Don't Give Up. And as you look at and hear about that story, beloved, I suggest that the young man is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Not giving up on any of us as we go through life's struggles and trials. I would say that the puppy, I suggest, would be us. That we would fight against the Holy Spirit until one day, because of God's choosing, we would wag our tail, smile at the Lord, and allow him to have control of our life. Exodus 34:6 says, "And the Lord passed by him," that's Moses, "when he was on Mount Horeb, and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundance in goodness and truth.'" Hold on to that word, truth. Because what we're going to talk about this morning is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that did not give up on you or I. Ephesians 5, 8 and 10, 8 through 10 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." So let's look at the scriptures in John 16, starting in verse 12. Remember what is happening. The disciples are brokenhearted. When you are brokenhearted, you do not hear everything that is coming your way. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to bring back remembrance of what was said, who said it, so that you can take the next step of faith and walking in righteousness and goodness and in truth. Jesus said to them, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Why does Jesus hold up on telling us the many things? I'm going to take you back and for one moment go back to John 14, 26. As you look at John 14, 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." See, Jesus Christ in that particular verse has outlined the New Testament. Historically, he will bring all things to our remembrance by way of the Holy Spirit. Doctrinally, he will teach us all things. Whatever Jesus said, I look at the epistles, the letters, as a commentary to the Gospels. And then there's additions to them. Also in John 16 and 14, he says similar things. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. But then in verse 13 of chapter 16, it is prophetic. He will show you things to come. That's the Holy Spirit again, the Spirit of truth. So we see that Jesus right now is holding back. Why is he holding it back? Remember, the Lord's disciples are Jewish. They have been brought up under the Jewish cultures. They have been taught in the scriptures ahead, the chapters preceding this, to love one another in the agape love, the way he loved us. They were taught to serve one another, Jesus being the example. Remember, these are keys. Then he talks about praying for one another in his name. What's his name? His name is the Jesus Christ, Lord. His title. Give him the full honor. Give him the full glory. But they were Jews. These disciples were Jews. These apostles were Jews. They had mindsets. They had prejudices. And they had agendas. And so what was the agenda? They were thinking that Jesus Christ was going to set up his kingdom now, and he would be the king. That was wrong. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. It wasn't time to set his kingdom up. They had mindsets, and that was basically because the way they worshiped, great changes would come. You see, the Messiah came. They rejected him. Many changes in the Jewish system of worship. The Sabbath would go to Sunday. Christianity will be established. The priesthood of the believers, they didn't even understand that. So great changes were happening. But then they had prejudices. The world will hate you. Rejection because they were Jewish. Rejection because they're now becoming Christians. Rejection because they believed in the Messiah. So where there was only two types of people in the world, the Jewish and the Gentiles, the non-religious type, the pagans, now there's three types. The Jewish, the Gentiles, and the Christians. When the Holy Spirit comes, their prejudices, their mindsets, their agendas will be gone. So my question is, what prejudices do we have? What mindsets do we have? What agendas do we have? Are we doing what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do? Or are we just going about our business the way we want to go about our business with all these influences outside the scriptures? Look at verse 13, if you would, please. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Stop there for a moment. We see that he's emphasizing something. Remember what Pilate said to him? It's in John chapter 18. I'm sorry, we're doing a little saw drill, but I'm keeping you in the book of John. 18, and we see Pilate coming into play. In verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? But Pilate didn't bring that up. Jesus brought that up. Look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto what? The truth. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. What's the great emphasis in these few verses, 12 through 16 of John 16? Truth, Spirit of truth. That means we have to, there's a movie out, you've heard me say this once before, it's called The Love of the Game. It's about a baseball player, Billy Chappell. When he went on the mound, in the first inning of that mound, he's looking and he says, clear the mechanism. And then the whole screen puts a cloud around the audience that's out there watching the game, and the only focus he has is on the catcher and the batter. Clear the mechanism. What that means to us, beloved, is get rid of the prejudices. Get rid of the mindsets. Get rid of the agendas. And focus totally on the Word of God, the truth of God. He's emphasizing not only of actuality and conformity of what is truth, but being faithful to Jesus Christ, who is the standard. Truth is a moral and personal characteristic of God. Isaiah 65 and 16 says, two times in that one verse, he says, God is truth. In Psalm 119, 142, we talked even in 119 this morning in the Psalm, and we see it's the Word, the Word, the Word, all through it. And it says in verse 42, your law is truth. In verse 151, it says, your commandments are truth. And then in 160, the entire of your word is truth. So God is making an emphasis here. It wasn't Pilate that brought up what is truth. It was Jesus Christ. Why the Spirit of Truth? Why are we having the Spirit of Truth? Beloved, look out in the world today. And I dare say, look at some of the Christians today. We get caught up in words and influences, and many of them are misunderstandings. They're lies. Some of them are lies. But we believe them. We accept them. The internet is full of misunderstandings. It'd be nice. Be careful on the internet. In John 8, 44 and 45 says, you are the father, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. Because there is no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. God is making a great emphasis in John. He's sending us the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, his works are these. He will guide you in all truth. This will deal with all Christianity ways. He'll deal with Christ because he points to Christ. He will deal with the church as a universal and of the local expression of the body, which we are. And he'll deal with every Christian. It's personal. The Spirit of Truth will guide his apostles as he guided Israel through the wilderness and the pillar and cloud of fire. That's how the apostles are going to go through the book of Acts. They're not going to see a pillar. They're not going to see the fire. They're going to see the Word of God displayed in their hearts and in their minds. The chosen apostles will have the responsibility of establishing the universal church. When they write, the Spirit will guide their pens. When they speak, the Spirit will guide their tongues. Remember, there are 66 books in the Bible. 44 have known authors, 22 do not. But it's all inspired by God. The Spirit of Truth's disciples will be guided as well. You and I will be guided as well. We will not write Scripture. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The key is twofold in that one verse. We have to be led by way of the Word, by way of conscience, and the influence of Jesus Christ, by way of the Holy Spirit. The second fold of that verse would be, he will go with us And he, because he is in us, but we have to listen to what he has to say. And that means quiet time, beloved. Quiet time with him. He goes on and he says, he will guide you in all truth. Think, I was on a cruise. It was Josh and Sarah's wedding. And we were coming into Bermuda. We were on a cruise ship, but we're stopped outside the port. We can't go in. The ship can't go any further. It has to stop. A tugboat is bringing the pilot out to the cruise ship. Why? You see, the pilot gets onto the ship, the cruise ship, and tells the captain, step aside. Because he will guide the ship into port. Because there are weather changes. He knows, the pilot knows the currents. There's also obstacles that have fallen, a ship may have sunk that is not recorded. He knows where they are. And he, the pilot, will guide the ship in, not the captain. I learned that on the cruise. Because I was anxious to get off the boat. You stop and you think about that. Who is the captain? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the pilot? The Holy Spirit is our pilot. And he will bring us into port. What's the port? Heaven. But meanwhile, we have to be controlled. We have to let the pilot, the Holy Spirit, guide us through these storms, through these weather changes, through the climate changes, no matter what they are. The Spirit of truth brings our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, says the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but the anointing which we have received of him abideth in you. You have it, beloved. We have it. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Beloved, do you see the privilege, the preciousness that we have inside of us is but the Spirit of truth? Get away from the influences of this world. Get closer to God. See him guide us through and be our tongue. Elohim is the one true God, combining the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we will see in the future, in his prayer, you and I. We're in oneness with God. And then it goes on in that same verse, and in the latter part of the last few words, it says, and he will show you things to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13, you will see things like, in verse 9, God hath prepared them that love him. So, beloved, do you love God? If you love God, how much time do you spend with him? How much time do I spend with him? So I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at me. Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's in verse 10. How many of us know the deep things of God? How many of us understood that right from Exodus, even maybe Genesis, but you go back to Exodus and we've already read it, he's goodness, he's kindness, and he's truth. And he is spreading throughout the Bible a theme called truth. Because the father of lies has damaged many, many people and many Christians. And so we have to change, beloved. Have to spend time with him. Focus on the truth that is within him, that is now in us. He would show them things to come, but he's not doing it with us the way he did it with the apostles. If you went to Acts 11 and 28, it says, and they stood up, one of them named Agabus, and the Spirit, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout the earth, about all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, what's dearth? Dearth is simply scarcity or lack of something. So during Claudius' time, there was a lack of something. The Holy Spirit told him it was coming. In Acts 20, 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bounds and afflictions abide in me. And Paul is saying, I'm going to be bound. I'm going to be afflicted. And he continued. But it was the truth. And he showed them things. He's not showing us these things. What is he showing us? Well, if you go on, 1 Timothy 4, 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But look what's happening in the world today. COVID-19. I don't even like bringing it up. Everybody looks at it like this is tragic. I got to wear a mask. People are afraid. And they look at God and they don't put God at the end of the sentence. They put it at the beginning, like God is doing this. God is allowing this. But remember this, it's for our good. Everything happens for our good. We're his children. How many here that are parents are going to do something terrible to their children? You know, it's not going to happen. We are the children. He is our Father. And he will give us truth. And he will guide us through any pandemic. But focus on him. If he calls you home, he calls you home. If he calls you for betterment, Mike talked about a prayer meeting that we had Thursday night. We anointed a young man who's dying of cancer. He will die. Maybe in a week, maybe in a month. It's hard to say. There was joy in that room. There was tears in that room. But that young man knew Jesus Christ. That young man is being guided into the port of heaven. A time of grief, maybe, but a time of joy. The Holy Spirit has shown us things that will come in the tribulation, if you read Revelation. He's shown us things in the millennium, if you read Revelation. And he's shown us a new heaven and a new earth. Do you believe all that? And if you believe all that, count it all joy. In verse 14, it says in verse 14 of John 16, going back, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. What is glory? Well, many people say, and I've said, it's excellence on display. It's also beauty. It's also honor. And it also is power. God's moral beauty and perfection of character is his glory. You know why a fallen angel cannot be saved? A fallen angel, which is a demon, cannot be saved because they have experienced the glory of God and rejected it. To a guy named Lucifer, who was stripped of his name and given the name Satan, the accuser. Psalm 113, 3 and 4 says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Oh, if we could only understand the depth of what he's looking for. Jehoshaphat would have been destroyed with 185,000 men coming after Israel to destroy them. The prophet understood and said for God to Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, it is mine. They went up to a mountain. As they went up to the mount and they worshiped God, there was no change with 185,000. By the way, Israel had no weapons. How would they defeat such an army? And then it happened. They started praising God. As they began praising, the enemy was destroyed. Not by Israel, but the host of angels took them out. We have the same God. We have the same protection. We have the same guide. Psalm 115:1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Again, the theme of truth is going through. Revelation 5:12 and 13, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Seven things, by the way. "And every creature that is which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such are in the sea that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever." You see, the Father glorified Christ in heaven. The Holy Spirit honors Christ, glorifies Christ on earth. Holy Spirit points to Christ. Christ points to the Father. He says, "Ye shall receive of mine," in verse 14. Literally means shall take of or from me. The Spirit of truth shall receive from Christ his commissions and instructions as an ambassador from Christ to Christ's will and complete his work. So I just love this circle. The Father gives to the Son. The Son gives to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to us so that we can honor and glorify the Father, and it goes into a big circle. I love that. How have you praised and honored God today, yesterday, tomorrow? "And he shall show unto you," the Spirit of truth shall announce and reveals it to us. In 15, it says, "All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto thee." All things that the Father hath are mine. You look at that and you say, what do you mean all things? Matthew 11:27, need not turn, it says this, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whosoever the Son will reveal him." Again, it's the Father given to the Son given to us by way of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. You know, one of the examples of that is Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. If you want to pop over there for just a second, Revelation 1, 1. As you go over there, you will see what he's saying here, how the Father gives to the Son gives to the, actually to the Holy Spirit and us by way of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 1:1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him," that's Christ, "to show us his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." So you break that down a little bit. God the Father gave it to Christ the Son. And that's number one. Number two is Christ the Son signified it to John, his servant, by way of the Holy Spirit. John, his servant, wrote what the Holy Spirit said. Neat, isn't it? So you want to walk in truth. What did the third epistle of John say? "There is no greater joy than when I hear my children walking in truth." And there is no greater joy. But, you know, there's one thing I have to bring out. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to give you three steps. Step one. Before a Christian can be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must deal honestly with every known sin in our life. If you haven't done that, do it. This involves repentance and confession to God. Now, don't try to do this all in one sitting, because you will get depressed. And draw the line. You draw a line. Where's the line start? The line starts when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Prior to that, you may do some general confessions, but once you've accepted Him, you're a new creation in Christ. All things are new. But during that time, you will sin. I will sin. We have that battle with the old nature. But every time we sin, you got to have repentance to that, because we hurt God. Confess it. Brush yourself off and walk in spirit. That's step one. Step two is this. We must clearly and completely, this is the hard one, turn over the control of our life to the Holy Spirit by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns us. This involves renouncing our own way, our own agendas, our own mindsets, our own prejudices. Renounce them and seek above all else to continuously submit to Christ as Lord. The only way you're going to submit to Christ as Lord, and I will submit to Christ as Lord, is to know what He likes and what He dislikes. And that's spending time with Him. We must be ruled by Christ in every area and detail of our life. This obedience demands a daily yielding of ourselves to God. This will allow us to learn the secrets of walking in truth. I told you, this was the hard part. The hard part is turning control over to Jesus Christ. Why is that so hard? Because we have been influenced by the government, by the cities, by the states, to be controlled by them. Even churches, beloved, are controllers. We're individuals in Christ. And the only control we should be submitting to is the Holy Spirit, by way of the Word, to honor Christ and to glorify the Father. What would be the results of this? If we can do this by the authority and power of the Holy Spirit, then the results is full of joy in the fact that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Beloved, think of that puppy. We fought him, the Holy Spirit. We were tied in sin. He released us. He cared for us. He nurtured us. And so, what should we do? But put a smile on our face, a joy in our heart, obedience to Christ, to honor Him, to glorify Him, not in general, but in every detail of our life. Invite Him in, which is kind of interesting because He owns us, and we still, He asks us to invite Him in to your situations and to your life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for unbinding us from the deadly acts of sin, freeing us so that we can honor you and glorify you. May you guide our pathways. May we relinquish control to you, so that you have honor and glory, that you have the wayward And Father, so that we can know the deep things of you, to see your heart. We look at the Holy Spirit as the heart of Jesus. We look at Jesus as the heart of the Father. Help us to be a heart after the Holy Spirit, after Jesus, after you, Father. So we ask for your help. As we depart, keep us all safe until we meet again. May your riches abound in each and every one of us. And may we walk with praise on our lips and honor and truth in our steps. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.